Today's year in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in the Nedarim Daf Lamed Tes. We begin with the Mishnah, two lines from the bottom on Lamed Ches Amid Beis. Now, I will tell you that we're introducing now Bikur Cholim. This is the main source in all of Shas for the mitzvah Bikur Cholim, which is a fantastic mitzvah. Baruch Hashem was zocha to write a sefer on Bikur Cholim, and we're not going to be able to go and delve into this as much as we would like. Much of the Inyan starts really on the Amud Beis and goes over into tomorrow's shiur. But for those that are interested, all these Gemaras are translated and expanded upon, and Shulchan Aruch is translated and expanded upon for all the practical mitzvahs of Bikur Cholim, which is a phenomenal mitzvah for a person to do. As we'll see, Ein Lo Shir, there's no limit to how often you can and should do the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. So we begin with the Mishnah. Again, Lamed Ches Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Hamudu Hanoah Mechavero. If a person is answering somebody else to get Hanoah from him. So for example, Reuven says to Shimon, you're also to get Hanoah from me. Now, the Gemara will discuss who we're talking about. We're talking about here, Reuven or Shimon. What exactly is the scenario? V'nichnas Levakro. So one of these two people comes to visit the other one. So we'll have different ways of learning it. Some will suggest that this is the person, Reuven, who's visiting, who's asking to give Hanoah to Shimon. And others suggest, no, it's Shimon, the sick person, who has prohibited Reuven from getting Hanoah from Shimon. Again, we'll see this as we go through the Gemara. The Mishnah is very enigmatic, but we'll explain it all in the Gemara. So, Hamudu Hanoah Mechavero V'nichlis Levakro. There's an Issa of Hanoah over here, either Reuven onto Shimon or Shimon onto Reuven, and Reuven goes to visit Shimon. So, Omeid, he's allowed to stand there, Avalo Yoshe, but he's not allowed to sit down over there. And again, the Gemara will explain what we're talking about. So here we'll just say the words. So Reuven is permitted to go and stand there and do the mitzvah Bikur Cholim, but he's not permitted to go and sit there and do the mitzvah Bikur Cholim. Again, unclear yet at this point, is Reuven also to give Hanoah to Shimon, or is Shimon also to give Hanoah to Reuven? And we'll explain both possibilities momentarily. And further, the Mishnah concludes, Umirapo Refuas Nefesh, he's allowed to go and heals neshama, so to say, he could do refuas nefesh, however, avalo refuas mamam, but he's not allowed to go and provide monetary benefit to him. And again, very unclear at this point in time. We'll explain this all in Mirtz Hashem when we get to the Gemara. So we turn to Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, and we start the Gemara. The Gemara starts off and says, Bamaiskin, what exactly are we talking about over here? Are we saying that it's Reuven that's visiting Shimon, and Reuven's also to give Shimon, the sick person, Hanoah? Or is it that Reuven's visiting Shimon, but Shimon, the sick person, had said beforehand that Reuven is not allowed to get Hanoah from him? So there are two possibilities here. So the Gemara says, but Mayaskin, what are we talking about? If you're talking about Reuven, who's going to visit, Reuven is the one who's visiting, Shimon is a sick person, Reuven is going to visit Shimon, and we're dealing here with the Nichse Mevaker, the possessions of Reuven, the Mevaker, are Asur Nalchola, so Reuven can't give Shimon Hanoah, so then then what's the problem over here? He should be allowed to stand, or he should be allowed to sit. Because how is he giving Hanoah to Shimon by him sitting down or standing up? He's allowed to go do the mitzvah, because mitzvah is lav lehanos nitnu. So therefore, why can't he sit down if he wants to? He's allowed to get Hanoah from Shimon, and so Shimon's not allowed to get Hanoah from him. So as the top Ryan says, the omeid mai taima shorisle mishum de mevaku mitzvah de nafshei avidle. He's doing the mitzvah himself. But even though the chola is getting benefit, it's allowed. And therefore, the kibun shekain, if this is so that he's allowed to visit him, then why can't he sit down? For this reasoning. Again, if you're allowed to go and visit because that's the mitzvah and you're doing the mitzvah, and mitzvah is lav lehanos nitnu, so then why shouldn't Reuven be allowed to sit down? If Reuven is not allowed to give Shimon Hanoah, so why can't Reuven get Hanoah from Shimon? And he should be able to sit down. Are you going to tell me, in that situation, afilu yoshiv nami, he should be able to sit down as well? Alternatively, ibishenich se chole asurin alamvaki, if you're telling me that it's Shimon that is forbidden to give to Reuven any benefit, so then why should he be able to stand? Afilu omeid nami lo, he shouldn't be able to stand as well. As the Ran points out in the Ramas of ibishenich se chole, he says, shari nene bedrisas aregel, just by going inside into his house. He's no longer outside in the cold. He's not outside in the rain. He's not outside in the heat. So just by going into his house, Reuven is benefiting from Shimon by going into his house. Aye, he's doing a mitzvah. Mushu mitzvah. Let's lay his hanuyeh meisur. But he's not allowed to do a mitzvah and get hanah from an iser item. So therefore, how could Reuven possibly go and visit Shimon, standing or sitting? So again, the two possibilities over here, afilu omeid nami lo. He shouldn't be allowed to stand in this second case. And the first case, he should be allowed to sit. So we have a problem here. How do we understand the Mishnah? If you're telling me that Reuven is not allowed to get Hanah from Shimon, so then he shouldn't be allowed to sit or stand. And if you're telling me that Shimon is not allowed to get Hanah from Reuven, so why can't Reuven sit as well as stand? That's the question. So we'll give three terutzim over here. The first one's from Shmuel. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel tells us, Li'olam, in fact, our Mishnah is talking about, B'shenichse mivaker, asurin al-hachola. It's Reuven who's asuring Shimon to get an offer from him. Reuven is visiting the sick Shimon, and Shimon is not allowed to get Hana from Reuven. Aye, in that situation, why shouldn't Reuven be allowed to sit? So we're dealing here, U'bemakum shenot linschar al yeshiva. In this place, in this community, the custom was that if somebody came to visit you when you were sick and they sat down, in other words, they spent time with you, they took care of you, they provided you companionship and company, you would pay them. One is allowed to do the mitzvah b'kacholim and to get paid for it. So in this place, the custom was that they would pay somebody for sitting down. So if Reuven went to Shimon and didn't accept the money from him, so then he would be benefiting Shimon. Shimon would get Hanah from the fact that he sat down and didn't pay him. So therefore, in that situation, Reuven can't go and sit down by Shimon because he would be giving Shimon Hanah. By not taking the money from him, Shimon would be benefiting directly. However, there ain't no lin schar al amida, but nobody got paid for standing up. And that's why, even though Shimon can't get Hanah from Reuven, if Reuven just stands up, so then Shimon is not directly benefiting the mitzvah itself, and Lehenos, and the fact that he's providing him companionship and doing certain things that normally would be paid for, nobody paid for standing up. They only paid for sitting down. Mistama, sitting down would imply a longer period of time. Standing up would be a shorter period of time. It wouldn't accomplish the same thing. I always tell young doctors that when they're going to visit a patient in the hospital, they should try to sit down and make sure that the patient understands that they're there for them. If they come in quickly and stand and they're rushing out to leave, the patient doesn't get the same satisfaction from the physician visit. In any event, they note in Schar Lamida, since in this situation, they didn't get paid for standing up. That's why Shmuel says, even though Shimon can't get Hanah from Reuven, Reuven is allowed to go in there and stand, albeit can't sit. Now, where it says, my Pascha, why are you making such a clear differentiation over here? As the Mefarish says, Dalzeh, note in Schar, Velozeh. Why are you telling me when you're standing, you don't get paid, and when you're sitting down, you do get paid? Why do you make such a distinction over here, saying that's what the Mishnah is talking about? So Gemara says, Hakamashvelam, the Chiddush is over here, the Af b'makom shenot l'schar, even in a place where they do take schar, they would pay somebody to sit down with a patient, al ha-yeshiva boil a mishkal. It's only for sitting down that they take schar, al ha-amida lo boil a mishkal, but they never would take schar for standing up. And we don't make such a gzera over here that if we would say, oh, you may come to sit down, so therefore we don't make such a gzera, and that's the Chiddush of our Mishnah, that only for sitting down is there a problem. If Reuven is going to visit Shimon, and Shimon's not going to know from him, but for standing up, there is no such problem. That's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. That's Shmuel Teretz number one. The Ran qualifies a little bit more at the end of the Dibra Maskot Afilu B'Makom. He says, "Umishum Hachi Pasuk Tana." That's why our Tana makes a distinction between standing and sitting. The Tani Nichnas Levakro, when you're going in and allowing Reuven to go visit Shimon, even though Shimon can't get an offer from Reuven. Omed bechulu duchte the mitzvah covered. In every place, standing up is just fulfilling the mitzvah. The idach, mimela, mishani, even though he's getting benefit, nevertheless, that's the mitzvah, and we don't consider that a benefit that Shimon is getting from Reuven. Aval lo yoshev, he can't sit down. And as the Ran says at the very end, in this situation, kisheinu no tel mimenu klum, nimtzumano. If he weren't to take money for sitting down, so then in some places that would be something that he would directly be benefiting Shimon. So therefore, the Tana says in all places, don't sit down. Okay, that's Teretz number one, as we said. Teretz number two, the boy is saying, Teretz number two is Kidu Rabbi Shimon Bel Yochim. This is like Rabbi Shimon Bel Yochim said. Now, what did he say? This is later in the Perek on Daf Mem Beis, and he's dealing with in the Shemitah year. So obviously, nobody owns anything in the Shemitah year. We say that it's Hefker. Anybody can come into your field and go and take things from you. However, let's say in this situation, the owner of the field had asked somebody to get an offer from him. So is that person allowed to come in the field? So the answer is yes, but he's not allowed to tarry there for a long period of time because to get the fruit, that he's allowed to get. However, to enjoy the field, to get benefit the field, he's not allowed to get. So that's the teretz of the number two, Kidur Shimon ben El Yochim. What did he say? Gizera Shema Yisheh Ba'amida. He said there that you're not allowed to go in there and pick, even though midaraisa you'd be allowed to, but midirabanan we don't allow you to go into that field and pick because maybe you're going to stay there and then you'll get benefit from even standing over there, and that you're not allowed to do. as the Ran says in the Ramasavi Bais in the middle of this Ran, Hachi Gazrinan, Shema Yishe bi Yeshiva Yoser Mechadei Atzorech. In this situation, you may end up sitting there longer than you're allowed to. So technically, to sit there, this opinion would say not a problem for the person who's visiting to go and sit there because he's doing the mitzvah. But once you've fulfilled, so to say, the mitzvah, and then you sit there a little bit longer, so then, you would in fact be getting hanah that you weren't allowed to get. And therefore, in this situation, you wouldn't be allowed to go sit there at all because of this gezeira. Now, he points out that there's a difference between our Mishnah, which we said you're not allowed to sit, but you are allowed to stand, and the Gemara on Daf Mem Beis, which says you're not even allowed to stand in the field. And that's because, he says, Amida lo gazrin, and over here, the Ran continues, Shema Yisha, that we're not concerned that you'll end up staying too long, because the Kivan Sha'ato Matzricho La'amot, since we only allow you to stand, Isle Akera, that's going to remind them, hey, why am I standing? Why don't I sit down? Oh, I'm not allowed to sit down, because I'm not allowed to get Hanoah. As opposed to the field, there's no such hacker. And therefore, by the field, you're not even allowed to stand, Midirabbanon, you're not allowed to go into the field at all, whereas over here, by Bikur Cholim, we would allow you to go and stand, but we wouldn't allow you to sit. That's Teretz number two. Teretz number three, Ula Omar, Ula tells us that we're actually dealing with Olam b'shenichse chole asur alavaker. We're talking about that Shimon, who's the sick person, said that Reuven can't get any hanoah from him. So why can't Reuven go and visit him? Ukhigon, the lo adre min chayuse. He didn't asur Reuven to get hanoah from Shimon if it's to Shimon's benefit. As you can see, and the Rosh says very clearly, he says, "V'lo hayo b'dayto shelo yenem imenu b'dover shechiyuso tulu yabo." Yes, Shimon had said, "Reuven, you can't get hanoah from me, but that's only if I don't benefit from it. But if my chiyuse, if my life, so to say, is dependent upon you're getting hanoah from me, then of course I'm allowing you to get hanoah from me." Again, as the Ran says, "Lo hayo b'dayto," it never entered his mind shelo yene that Reuven couldn't get benefit from Shimon. That Shimon is going to benefit from the fact that Reuven's getting benefit. So Reuven's going to benefit from being inside the warm house, but Shimon's the one that's really benefiting from that. So this Bikur Cholim over here, Shimon is getting tremendous benefit from Reuven coming to visit him. So yes, Reuven is benefiting from being in the warm house right now. However, Shimon never asked Reuven to get that benefit because it was to Shimon's benefit. However, the Rosh adds that that's only because that's to the benefit of Shimon. So Reuven can go and come inside the warm house, but he can't take a drink there. He can't eat there. That he can't go and take from him. However, the Mepharshim seems to understand this a little bit differently, and they suggest that this is talking that even though Shimon permitted Reuven to come into the house, he didn't permit him to come in and bring food and water for him, because that is somehow included in his original neder, that he doesn't want Reuven to get any benefit from him, so he's not allowed to come into the house to bring him food and water. That's already considered nachiyuse, that's considered something that other people could bring him, and therefore food and water he wouldn't be able to bring him. Now, the Ran seems to disagree with this. The Ran can be found at the end of the sugya, where we deal with the Mishnah talking about can the doctor go and heal a patient if there's an Issur Hanoah. So we'll wait till we get to Daf Mem Aleph to discuss that further, but not everybody agrees with the way I just explained this Rosh. In any event, this Teretz of Ula is different than the Teretz of Shmuel, and incidentally the second Teretz that we gave from Rabbi Shimon Ben Eliakim, in that Shmuel was saying that we're dealing here with the Mevaker is asering the Chola, and Ula is saying that the Chola is asering the Mevaker. So Gemara has one last question on this. If the Chola as asring the mevaker, suyachi afilu yoshiv nami. Then why doesn't he let him sit there? If again bishvil chiyuse, he's allowing him to come and visit him because he never asked Reuven in a situation where it would be necessary for him to benefit from that. So then why can't Reuven sit there as well? Gemara says because ha'ef shel b'amida. In this situation, Reuven could stand, and therefore the only benefit to Reuven from sitting down is to Reuven and not to Shimon, and therefore that would still be asur. Okay, so we have these somewhat diametrically opposed terutzim of Shmuel versus Ula. And the Gemara is now going to question Shmuel and say, don't you agree with Ula? Meisve, we had the following brisa that clearly seems to follow Ula. And as we'll end up concluding, Shmuel agrees with Ula. So the Gemara says, it says in the following brisa, Cholo hu nichnas levakro. If the sick person who asud Reuven to get hanoah from him takes sick, so then, as Ula just explained, so the visitor, Reuven, even though he's also to get an offer from Shimon, is allowed to go inside the house and have Drisa Sarego benefit because he's doing it l'chiyuse of Shimon. So Cholahu nichnas levakro. So in that situation, Reuven is allowed to go and visit him. However, Cholah b'no, if Shimon's son were to get sick, and Reuven is not permitted to get Hanoah from Shimon, so then he can't go inside the house to go visit the son, but Sho'alo b'shuk. So in that situation, he can only ask about him, because there's no Hanoah that he's getting in asking about him, but he's not allowed to go inside the house and get direct benefit from Shimon, even though he's going to visit Shimon's son, who is sick. Now, this is a raya to Ula. Bishlamal Ula, this works out great according to Ula, because the Omar, Bishenechse Chole, Asurin Alamavaki, if you're dealing with a case where Shimon is asking Reuven, the visitor, to go and get Hanoah from him, so we understand, for himself, when he gets sick, that was Chiyuse, but his son wasn't included in Chiyuse. Uchigon, the low Adre min Chiyuse, so therefore, Shapir. We say that Shimon never asked Reuven to give him Hanoah if it's going to benefit Shimon. So Reuven can get Hanoah from Shimon only if it's purely for Reuven's benefit, but not if it's going to be the chiyuse of Shimon. But when Shimon made this statement, he never intended it to also be for the chiyuse of his son. And therefore, if Reuven were to go inside Shimon's house to go and visit Shimon's son, he would be getting benefit from Shimon. And it's not chiyuse of Shimon, it's chiyuse of his son, but that wasn't included in the original neder that Shimon had made, that Reuven's also got an oath, except if it's chiyuse of myself. And as the Ran points out, even though he didn't say this beferish, he didn't have to actually state this beferish, that's the understanding. So when Shimon asked Reuven, it never meant to be asking Reuven if it was something that was necessary for Shimon. But if it's Shimon's son, then the Isser takes effect. So Ula fits it very, very well. Bishlam al Ula, the Amma Bishlamesech Olasun al Mavaker, who says that Shimon had asked Reuven, the visitor, to get an offer from him. So again, for Chiyuse of Shimon, no problem. For Chiyuse of the son, yes, problem. And therefore, Ukigon, the Lo Adrim in Chiyuse. That's included, Shapir. And therefore, for himself, it's fine. And for the son, it's not fine. Therefore, everything works out well according to Ula. This Brisa is in accord with Ula. But to Shmuel, El Shmuel, who says, the Amma Bishlamesi Mavaker Asun al Chola, it's Reuven who asked Shimon to get an offer from him. So then why, the Amma Bishlamesi Mavaker Asun al Chola, if Shimon's not allowed to get an offer from him, so then why shouldn't he be able to go and visit Shimon or Shimon's son? Maishno hu, maishno beno. Why should it make any difference as to whether he's visiting Shimon or Shimon's son? Because in this situation, there is no Isser in Reuven going to do the mitzvah. He's allowed to get Hanoah from going into the house. It's only Shimon that can't get Hanoah. And we said before that to stand in there is not a problem. So why shouldn't he be able to go and stand to visit Shimon or to go and stand to visit Shimon's son? So the Gemara says, it's a kasha on Shmuel. So the bottom line is, Shmuel says, oh, Malach, yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you in the case where Shimon is asking this brisa, where Shimon asked Reuven, so then Reuven would only be allowed to visit Shimon because of chiyuse to Shimon, but wouldn't be allowed to go visit Shimon's son because that wasn't included in the neder. I agree with you. The brisa is talking about that scenario, that nichse chole asurin ala vaker, but our Mishnah is not. Masnistin b'shenichse mevaker asurin ala chole. Our Mishnah is, as I said it, that Reuven had asked Shimon in Hanoah. And you're right, the Braisa is b'shenichse chol asurin ala mavaker. The Braisa is talking about where Shimon had asked Reuven, and therefore, for Shimon, Reuven can come in, but not for Shimon's son. So I agree with you in the Braisa, but the Braisa is not the Mishnah. Now, the obvious question is, why did he make such a distinction? My Poska, the Gemara says, why did Shmuel say that the Mishnah and the Braisa aren't talking about the same scenario? As the Rosh says in the bottom Rosh, the last Rosh, Shederech HaBraisa, L'shanos Binyan Zeh, the Mishnah Binyan Zeh, does it make any sense to say that the Braisa is talking about one thing and the Mishnah is talking about something else? Mestama, they're both talking about the same thing. So why over here do we make such a distinction between the Mishnah and the Braisa being talking about two cases, as Shmuel has to say? So Amar Rava, Rava explains, now we have the words Amar Shmuel, but if you look at the Besaros HaShas HaSalaf, he says the word Amar is wrong, because Rava wasn't saying it's in the name of Shmuel. Rava was saying, this is what Shmuel would have said. Amar Rava, Shmuel says, we turn to Lama Tesla with Beis, Masnisin Kishise. Shmuel was disturbed, he was bothered to learn the Mishnah in the same way that the Braisa did. In other words, he didn't want to learn the Mishnah the way Ula did, that it was Shimon asuring Reuven, but he learned it that it was Reuven asuring Shimon. Why is that? Because my Irya, the Tane Omeid Avalo Yoshev, because Our Mishnah specifically said that Reuven is allowed to go and stand there, but is not allowed to go and sit there. So Shmuel says, therefore, that makes sense. The Nichse Mevaker Asur Nalachola. Only in this situation can you explain it, that the Mevaker Asurd the Chola. Reuven had Asurd Shimon. And that's why we said he's allowed to stand there, because there was no payment for standing. There was only a payment for sitting, and he may come to sit. And therefore, Shimon is not allowed to have him go and sit there, because if he sits there, Shimon would be benefiting from Reuven. That's why you had to learn the Mishnah that way. Now, the obvious question is, that seems to be 100% correct. How did Ula learn the Mishnah then? Why did Ula learn the Mishnah differently? So you can see this in Dibra Maskel, Amaloch in the Ran, on Lamed Tesamud Aleph. And if you look at that Dibra Maskel, it says, Shimon in Vadai de Braisa, Mesukba, Bishichnich Sechola, Asun al Mavaker, de Modina, Betaima de Doch, de Mistam Mechiusi lo Adre. So, as I pointed out, the Ran explains, the Shmuel agrees with Ula for the Braisa. But I'm saying more than Yeshua says to Ula. Dafilu mi yeshiva lo adre, because I would hold that from yeshiva sitting down he wouldn't be aser. Mishum hachi lo mitzina leukme masnisin kidemukmes law. And therefore, that's why I don't learn the Mishnah like you, because I would hold in the Mishnah you should even be allowed to sit down in that situation, because if it's Shimon asri Reuven, so his chiyuse also includes sitting down. And therefore, if you were to learn like you in the Mishnah, it should also allow you to sit down. And therefore, since our Mishnah didn't allow you to sit down, that's why I learned the Mishnah as being a different scenario than the Braisa. The Mishnah is talking about where Reuven asked Shimon, and the Braisa is where Shimon asked Reuven. And that's why, Mishum Hachi lo matzina lo'uk me'masnisin kidemuk mislo. That's why Shmuel tells Ula, the way I learned the Mishnah is correct, but not the way you learned it. Because, di hachi afilo yoshib nami shari. And obviously, Ula doesn't hold like that. Ula disagrees with this statement that Shmuel made, and he would say no. Even though, chiyuse, as we pointed out, chiyuse you can accomplish by standing up, and you don't have to sit down. If you're sitting down, then you can't go and sit down, because you'd be getting hanah from Shimon. So this is the machlokas between Shmuel and Ula, how to understand the Mishnah. How do we paskin? So Ron continues. He says, halacha, we pass him like Shmuel. Why? Because Kivan the Rava Mefarish Milse, since Rava goes and explains this, and he says, Amasnisin is Daikale, he brings a right from Mishnah, so the Ran therefore says, we pass him like Shmuel. And the Ran continues and goes into this in greater detail, Ayin Shah. Now we go into the Gemara that discusses, this is a very famous Gemara that discusses Bikur Cholim. Again, in all of Shas, they have one or two places elsewhere, but this is the major source for the great mitzvah Bikur Cholim in all of Shas. So we begin, Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, Remez lebikur cholim in Ator Minayin. Where do you find a remez? The way the Rosh understands this, in Dibra Maskel remez, he says, Pirish remez mefurash, a specific remez that we have over here to the mitzvah bikur cholim. Because many, many people bring down that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to visit Avram Avinu on the third day of the bris, post-bris, so that's a major remez. That's what most people will say is the remez for bikur cholim. But here he wants a remez mefurash. Where do we actually find something a little more specific to say that there's a mitzvah of bikur cholim min haTorah? And as an aside, the whole concept of the mitzvah of bikur cholim, there's many different opinions as to what the status of this mitzvah is. There's actually one opinion from the Rishonim that says that this is one of the Tayag mitzvahs. But the more commonly accepted opinion is that this is just in the rubric of gemilus chasodim, of general gemilus chasodim, and of emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, albeit there is an opinion that says it's only a mitzvah d'rabbanan, but the standard understanding is that this is part of the rubric of Gemilus Chasadim. So where do we have a remez to this? Amar Reish Lakish, remez lebikur cholim min haTorah minayin. So it's from the famous machlokus with Moshe Rabbeinu and Korach v'Yadoso. Shenemar, as the Pasuk there says, Moshe Rabbeinu was very bewildered that Korach is rebelling against him. And he says, this can't be. How dare you go and rebel against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You think that I'm nepotism? I'm giving the important jobs to my relatives? Chas v'shalom. This is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the entire pasuk should be quoted over here, as I go to you and bring down, Im kamos kol ha'odom yimusun eile, ufukudas kol ha'odom yipokin aleim, lo Hashem shlochani. Moshe Rabbeinu is essentially telling the entire tzibur that you look and see, who's right, Korach or me? If Korach and all of his men die a normal death, and don't have something unusual happen to them, they die the death of all people, Kol ha'adam, im kamos kol ha'adam yimsineile. So then, ufkudas kol ha'adam, and everybody comes to visit them. In other words, they die in the normal way that people die, with biker cholim. So then, it's clear, lo Hashem shlochani. Then Hashem didn't send me, and he is right. But the converse, if they die suddenly, without people getting a chance to do the mitzvah biker cholim, then you see that I'm right and they're wrong. So, I just said this outside. The Gemara asked, my mashma, how do you see this on the pasuk? So Rava breaks it up and darshens it. Amar Rava, im kemos kol adam yimusin eile, if korach v'adoso, they die in a manner, shehein cholim, they're sick, umutolim barisosin, and they're lying in bed. Uvnei adam mivakrinosam, and people come to visit them, like the normal way of dying is that people get sick, nebuch, and people come to visit them, do the misabika cholim, so then, you know, mahabrios omen, then what will the people say? Lo Hashem shlochani lezeh. Then you can say that, yes, Korach is right, I'm giving nepotism to my relatives, all these important positions, Aaron and others, so therefore, Korach is right and I'm wrong. But, if they don't die in the normal fashion of people visiting them, but they die suddenly as the ground opens up and swallows up Korach v'Hadasa, then you know that I'm right and that he was wrong. Furthermore, Dorash Rava, so what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? In Bria Yivro Hashem, if Hashem will create a new creation. Now this is problematic, as we'll explain in a moment. Hashem doesn't make new creations. So what exactly is Moshe Rabbeinu saying will be the question. But right now, Rava starts off and tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Im Bria Yivro Hashem, if you already created Gehenim, Im Bria Gehenim, if you created Gehenim, Mutav Tia, Baruch Hashem. Imla, but if you haven't created Gehenim, so then Yivro Hashem, then please create it now and have them be swallowed up and go straight to Gehenim. But the Gemara, again, as I mentioned, questions this. Ini, Vatanya, Shivon Dvarim Nivru Kodem Shinivru Kodem Shinivru Holam. There were seven things, amongst them Gehenim, that were created before Hashem created the world. So what? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know this, and Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, oh, in case you didn't create Gehenim, so then please create it now. But Moshe Rabbeinu knew this, and Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Gehenim was created before the world. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu saying? If you created Gehenim, good, but if you didn't, go create it now. Doesn't make any sense. Now, what are these seven things? Shiva Dvarim Nivru Kodem Shnivra Olam. So, Elohim, these are those seven things, and we'll darshan each one from Psukim. We'll learn them each separately. First is Torah. Number two is Tshuva. Number three is Gan Eden. Number four is Gehenim. Number five is Kisi HaKavot. Number six is Beis HaMikdash. And number seven is Shemo Shamashiach. Now, what are these seven things that were created before Brias HaOlam? So, we have Psukim to support all of them. Where do we see that the Torah was created? Shech the Shlita would always say that the Torah is the blueprint for the world. If you want to understand how to build the model of the world, if you want to understand how that person should act in this world, so you got to take out the instruction kit. You got to take out the Torah, which is the blueprint for the whole world, and see how you're going to put the world together. So to say, if a person has a model airplane, so you can't just take all the pieces and hope that you get them right. You have to follow the instructions and do this, do this, do that. And in this way, a person will make himself into a correct person, will make himself into what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to be. So, therefore, the Torah was created before the world, the Siv, Hashem Kononi Reishis Darko V'Gomer. The V'Gomer here is Kedem Mif'olov Me'oz. So this is critical part of the Pasuk, and we're going to rely upon the full Pasukim over here because the V'Gomers were put in by the editors, and they don't always capture what the Drush of the Gemara is. And we're also going to rely very heavily to explain all these by the Likutei Rashi. For reasons that I'm not sure, the Mefarshim on the Daf over here, the Ran, the Mefarish, the Rush, and Tosos, don't really describe the understanding of here these Pasukim, but the Likutei Rashi that you find on many of the Gemaras, so they go back and bring down these Gemaras where they're found elsewhere, and we'll use the Likutei Rashi here on the Daf very much. So this first Pasuk, Hashem Konani Reishis Darko, Kedem Mifolov Me'oz, so if you look in the Likutei Rashi, so it brings down, this was Kodem Briyasu Shel Olam, Kodem Lishar Drochen, before all the other things were created, the Torah was created. Now, the Likutei Rashi brings down the Gemara elsewhere, which asks the question, but wait a second, in that situation, L'chora, it says that V'od Amor Le'el, Haksav B'Erev Shabbos, B'Ksoven Shel Luchos, it says that the Luchos were only written on Erev Shabbos. They're telling me the Torah was written before this, so how do you reconcile that? So it says, V'zu Ha'isa K'suva Mitchila, that the Torah was written beforehand is B'Eish Shechora Agabi Levona. That was this concept. And a lot of these things that we're learning today can't be understood literally, but they're concepts. So the Luchos, the Torah, was written be'esh shechora, with a black fire, agabi levon, on the white. And that is the concept that the Torah was given beforehand. And the actual writing of the Luchos, that was literally done on Erev Shabbos. So, in any event, Torah number one. Number two, tshuva. The concept of tshuva was created before the world as well. B'terem horim yuladu, b'techolel v'gomer. So this pasuk is telling us, b'terem horim yuladu, b'techolel eretz v'sevel u'me'olam ad olam atokel. And as the Likutei Rashi says, nivru u'b'terem cholelis eretz v'tevel, before the world was created. Baros midas tshuva, as Gemara Pesachim tells us. So the pasuk is to be explained before the mountains were created, before the full structure of the world was created, then you have to go to the next pasuk. The next pasuk tells us, Toshev enosh adaka, batomer shuvu b'nei adam. So here, again, the v'gomer is critically important, so there's this concept of tshuva that's created. That's number two. Number three is Gan Eden. Where do we see the Gan Eden was created before the world? Gan Eden d'chsev, v'yita Hashem Elokim gan be'edem mikedem. Hashem made the gan in Eden mikedem. So here, the simple understanding is very easy, that mikedem means mukdom li'olam, as Rashi says in Pesachim. The next one is the critical one that we brought in this whole discussion, Gehenim. How do we see that Gehenim was in fact created? And Moshe Rabbeinu knew this. So it's a kasha. How could Moshe Rabbeinu say if he didn't create him? Gehenim. Of course Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Gehenim was created. So Gehenim d'chsev ki aruch me'esmol tofteh. Now the end of this pasuk is ki aruch me'esmol tofteh gamhi lamelech huchan. It was already set up. As the Likutei Rashi tells us that here the word is me'aruch me'esmol is yom sheni l'vriyas olam, on the second day of creation, and not on a day that had 2 days before it. Not on the third day or fourth day. And what was created then? Tofteh, Gehenim. Why is it called Tofteh? Shekol ha-mispateh b'yitzro nofel shom. Anybody that gives into his evil inclination will end up going over there. So we see that Gehenim was created before Adam. Others explain, no, the Gehenim was actually created well before, not on the second day, but well before the world was created. In any event, clearly Gehenim was already created. Why would Moshe Rabbeinu ask, if you didn't create Gehenim, please make it now? Anyway, let's finish off this seven items. So we had Torah, Tshuva, Gan Eden, and Gehenim. Gehenim was number four. And now we go to number five, Kisei Kavod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kisei Kavod was created before the world. Dechsev, Nochon Kisecha Me'oz. And that pasuk continues, Me'olam Ata. It was created before the world. That's simple, very easy to understand. And so is the sixth one, where it says that the Beis HaMikdash was also created before the world. Beis HaMikdash, Dechsev, Kisei Kavod, Marom Me'rishon. So here you clearly see it was created from before, maybe shown, and the end of the pasuk is Makom Mikdashenu. It's talking about the Beis HaMikdash. So for the Kisei HaKavod and the Beis HaMikdash, the Beferish said in the Pesukim. And finally, the last one, that the Mashiach, the concept of the Mashiach was created, Shemo Shemashiach, the name, the idea of Mashiach was created. We see that, Tachsim, Hishmo Liolam V'Gomer. And that pasuk continues, and it says, Yishmo li'olam lifnei shemesh, yinon shmo, before the sun, yinon shmo, that was created. So therefore, we have this idea, these seven ideas were all created before the world, and therefore, how could Moshe Rabbeinu say, in case Gehenna wasn't created, create it now? Moshe Rabbeinu knew this, and therefore, how could Moshe Rabbeinu say this? So therefore, we have to understand Rava's statement about Moshe Rabbeinu as follows. This is what Rava was saying about Moshe Rabbeinu. When he said, if you created a mouth to Gehenim, in other words, something that people could fall into, so then mutab, fantastic, then it's already created. But if you hadn't created such a mouth, Yivra Hashem, please Hashem, build it now, create it now, so that Korach v'siyato, Korach v'yadaso, can fall in. But the one question is this as well. It says in Koheles, v'chsiv, ein kol chodosh tachas Hashemesh. After Maisa Bereishis, nothing new was created. We have in Pirkei Avos, it tells us there were 10 things that were created on Erev Shabbos. But that's it. Nothing new was created. So how could Hashem, so to say, create this mouth to Gehenim if it wasn't created beforehand? It seems to go against the way Hashem is structuring the world. And Moshe knew that. So Gemara says, Hachikar, I know. Again, misunderstanding what Moshe really said. And Rav explained as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, E hachalo, if the mouth isn't over here, the Rambam even had the word hachal. He says, E-lo, if the mouth isn't over here, mikrav puma lahacha likariv. So then, please bring the mouth closer to where Korach v'Adaso are, so they can be swallowed up. But you're not creating the mouth, you're just bringing it closer. And as the Mefarshim explained, that's not considered creating. As the Rambam says, E-lo mikrav puma lahacha likariv, ukreva bi'alma, less of a chlal in kochadosh. The fact that the mouth is not over here, the mouth is there, and you're bringing it over here, that's not a problem of in kochadosh tachas hashemesh. So this is how we explain what Moshe Rabbeinu actually said. Rava darshens further. Darsha Rava. The Amri lo Amr Yitzchak. Others say it was Rav Yitzchak who darshened it. My dear, what does the pasuk mean when it says Shemesh Yoreach the Omad Zevula? Now here we have to give a little background, and you can see this inside in the Ran. I'll say it outside. This is on the day that these psukim are brought down from Habakkuk, which is a reference back to the great victory that Yeshua had over Givon. And it says, Hashemesh Dom B'Givon V'Yoreach the Emek Ayalon. The Enes occurred. Klai Yisrael defeated the Canaanim, and therefore in Givon, they wanted to finish off the battle, but the day was coming to the end, and the enemy would escape. So Yeshua asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hold the sun and the moon in their places and let the day continue for a much longer day, and they were able to wipe out all of their enemies, all of the Canaanim. Now, it says over there that the sun and the moon, Shemesh V'Yoreach, Omad Zevula, they left. And again, the Mefarshim here on the daf all explain this in some detail, but other Mefarshim elsewhere I'm giving you as well. So the sun and the moon, which are normally in the second Rokia, that's what they normally are, in the seven heavens that we've spoken about previously, so they're normally in the second heaven, which is called Rokia, they went up to the fourth heaven, which is called Zevula. Now, why did they go to this Zvul, to this place Zevula? So the Maharsha brings down an interesting idea, that in the fourth heaven, this Zevul, Shom Avodas Korbanos. That's where all the Korbanos were. Kaviyochel in Shemayim, the parallel of what's going on on the earth. And therefore, it's Muchuvon Kineged Ha'avoda Milamata. So what was going on in this fourth heaven is Kineged, what's going on in the Beis HaMikdash on this world. And therefore, Korach V'Siyato, Korach and his Eda, Korach V'Adaso, they were rebelling against Moshe Rabbeinu's giving out to Aaron HaKohen and others the various avodas in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, the sun and the moon left their normal second heaven and Bedafka went to this fourth heaven where the Kabanos in Shemayim were, so to say, being offered. And they complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu over there about what Korach was doing to Moshe Rabbeinu. So with that background, now let's see inside. Shemesh v'yoreach omad zvula. The Shemesh and Yoreach left their normal place in the second heaven in Rokia and went up to Zvula. They went to Zvul. And there were questions, what were they doing in Zvul? Why did they leave the second heaven and go to the fourth heaven? Shemesh v'yoreach v'zvul, my bayin. What were they doing in the fourth heaven? They're supposed to be in the second heaven. Va barakia kivie. They're supposed to be set in the second heaven. So why would they go up to the fourth heaven? In other words, they're not going to shine where they're able to be shining. So this teaches us the following beautiful agadata. Melame sha'alu shemesh v'yoreach me'rakia l'zvul. They left their place in the second heaven, and they went up to the fourth heaven to Zvur because they were standing up for Moshe Rabbeinu. Ramulufanim, the Kaviyochel said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Im Ata'ose Din Leben Amram, if you go stand up for the Ben Amram, for Moshe Rabbeinu, the son of Amram, so then we will shine. We'll go back down to the second heaven, to Rokia, and we'll shine over there, Anu Meirim. However, if you're not going to stick up for Moshe Rabbeinu, Yim Lav, Ain't Anu Meirim. We're going to stay here in the fourth heaven, and they won't be able to see us on the world. We won't be able to see us from the Rokia. So they were basically blackmailing HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyocho. The son of the moon said, you either stand up for Moshe Rabbeinu and create this disaster for Korach V'Adaso because he had the chutzpah to rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu, or we're going to rebel against you. We're going to go and stay in the Zvul part of Shemayim and not be in our regular place in Rokia. So at that moment, Be'os HaShah, Yorah Bahem Chitzim V'Chanisos, which we'll explain in a moment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore, threw arrows at them, and chanisos is spears. So he threw arrows and spears at the sun and the moon. Now we'll see in a moment why he did this, because the sun and the moon were chastised, and then they followed what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and therefore they weren't going to come down to the second heaven and shine anymore at all. So Hashem had to force them to go and shine. Now what's the story? What happened? Amalem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyoch Hu says to the sun and the moon, what? Every day they're worshiping Avodah Zarah, they're worshiping you, and you don't stand up for my honor, and now today you're standing up for Moshe Rabbeinu's honor? All the people of the world bow down to you, the sun and the moon, and they call you gods. Nevertheless, that doesn't seem to bother you that they're, so to say, giving me the short shrift, that they're not giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu proper kavod. They're bowing down to you and saying, you're God, when I'm God. And you never seem to be bothered by that. And you go and shine every day and every night. The sun and the moon come out. No. For my honor, you didn't stand up. But now, for Moshe Rabbeinu, b'chvod boss of Adam, for Moshe Rabbeinu, you're leaving the Rokia and you're coming up to the Zvul. So therefore, you did wrong. Therefore, Ubchol Yom V'Yom, they took this Musa and they said, fine, so then we will no longer shine for everybody, because as long as the people are worshiping us, we won't shine. So Ubchol Yom V'Yom, Yorim Behem Chitzim V'Chanisos Irim. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, has to force them, he has to shoot arrows and spears at them in order to get them to come down from Zvul and go back to Rakia. Because now they say, okay, we want to honor you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that despite the fact that people worship the sun and the moon, you're still allowed to have the sun and the moon in the sky, because they're foolish people that worship the sun and the moon. So just because some people are doing stupid things, so the rest of the world can't get the benefit of the sun and the moon. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, throws arrows and spears at them in order for them to do the work. And that's now we understand the pasuk that says in Habakkuk, which started us all off over here, Shinemar, Lo'or Chitzecho Yehalechu, the Gomer, that now you'll go, and you'll only go and, so to say, be in the sky because of these arrows that I'm throwing at you. That's why these arrows existed, these spears existed. And that's the pasuk. Shemesh v'yareach omad zvula lior chitzecho yalecho. That's the end of the pasuk. Lenoga birak chanisecho. So now we understand what was going on in Shemayim. This hypothetical conversation, so to say, between the sun, the moon, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We continue in our discussion, Bikur Cholim, Tanya, Bikur Cholim ain lo shir. The mitzvah Bikur Cholim has no shir. It doesn't have a set limit. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't have a set limit. My ein l'shir. More ass. What does it mean? It doesn't have a limit. Sava, Rav Yosef Lemeimar. Rav Yosef originally wanted to suggest that it means ein shir lematan schara, that there's no amount that you can say you only get this amount for doing this mitzvah. There's no limit to how much you get for the schar of doing the mitzvah bikur cholim. Don't minimize it by saying you only get this much schar. And ein shir lematan scharin, that there's, you can't imagine how much schar you get for doing this mitzvah. So that's what he first wanted to suggest. But Abayi, his Talmud, told him, Amalei Abayi, he says, that can't be. The whole mitzvos, mishye shir lematan scharin, and all the mitzvos, they do have a shir? That can't be. No mitzvah has a shir, but none, because we have the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that tells us, Hevi zor b'mitzvah kala kevim chamura, she'enata yodea matan scharin shel mitzvos. You should be zor and doing every mitzvah kala, just like you would in a mitzvah chamura. Don't take any mitzvahs for granted. Don't take any mitzvahs to say, ah, that's an easy one. That's not an important one. Because you have no idea what the schar is for every mitzvah. In other words, we don't know the schar. And every mitzvah has limitless schar. It's impossible to gauge. Well, this mitzvah only gets you $1 zillion worth of schar. Every mitzvah is limitless. Every mitzvah has an unbelievable amount of schar that's attached to it. So that can't be the understanding Abaye told Rav Yosef. Now, in the Likutei Rashi, he brings down a beautiful example that the Mefarshim on this Pirkei Avos Mishnah tell us. And he brings down, Moshel l'mahadova domeh, l'melech she'amru li'avodav. It's a king that tells to his servants, Tulu b'scharchem kach v'kach v'chnitzu l'pardes. I'm going to pay you this and this amount. Come into the pardes and take care of my orchard. V'chor shubo v'tiknu kol tzarcho. And they came inside there, they plowed, and they took care of all the needs. And this orchard had very important trees, very good trees, and also trees that weren't as important. They were bad trees. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, listen, Ilan Ploni Tofu, this Ilan is a very good tree. Ilan Ploni Rahu, this tree is not as important. So then what would everybody have done? They would have said, oh, it's much more important for the owner of the field that we take care of the good trees. So they only would have all taken care of the good trees. In other words, they only all would have taken done the big mitzvos in order to get more reward. And it will turn out that nobody will take care of the bad trees. In other words, nobody will do the mitzvos that you consider to be less important. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give us the amount of schar that you're going to get for each mitzvah. So this beautiful parable over here is, L'kach omar b'stam kach osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu shelo gila schar ha-mitzvah shelo yira odom mitzvah sheschar meruba yoser mi chaverto v'yachzor acharea. So this way people don't start picking and choosing. Say, well, I'll do a mitzvah. This one's worth $100. This one's only worth $50. I'll only do the mitzvah that's worth $100. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give us matan schara. Sometimes we do know that certain mitzvahs are considered kishkula kineged kulam. Certain mitzvahs have a seeming greater importance to them. So yes, there are certain select mitzvahs that are more than equal. But at the same time, all the mitzvahs are extremely important. In any event, that's why Abaye didn't like the pshat of Rav Yosef. So what does it mean then that the mitzvah has no shir, the mitzvah bikacholim ain't lo shir. So Elam Rabbi, he says, afilu gadol eitzel katan, it's referring to an individual who is a great person, shouldn't say, it's pasnish for me to go and visit this lesser person. As the Mefarish says, in Dibra Masav, afilu gadol, shlo yomar, a person shouldn't say, lo avaka, I'm not going to go visit elo gadol kamoni. I'm a king, I'll only visit other kings. I'm not going to visit the hoi poloi, I'm not going to visit the stam people. No, even a great person should go and visit a lesser great person. And we see this from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu visited Avraham Avinu on the day three after his meal, as I pointed out before, and that's another great source for Bikur Cholim. And we see that, obviously, as great as Avraham Avinu was, he's not on the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu visited him. So we learn out from there that a Gadol goes to visit a Katan. Rava gives a different teretz, Rav Amar, and it says it doesn't say Amar Rava, so it's not necessarily disagreeing with the Baha'i, he's just giving another teretz. Rav Amar, afilu mea pomim bayom, that you can go visit. The mitzvah bikur cholim applies even 100 times a day. There's a beautiful verse that I heard from many, many different Gedolei Yisrael that tells us what the shir is for bikur cholim. So the Gemara elsewhere is going to tell us that a person shouldn't go in the first 3 hours of the day or the last 3 hours of the day, because in the first 3 hours of the day, a person looks good and you're going to say, oh, I don't need to go daven for this guy. He's off the bikur cholim list. Baruch Hashem, he's getting better. Last 3 hours, you're going to say, guy's a goner. Nebuchadnezzar, after the whole day of muching him in the hospital, that he's been taken from test to test, and he's exhausted and tired, and he doesn't look so good, you're going to say, this guy's a goner. It's a tefillah shav to daven for him. I'm going to take him off the list. So therefore, in the 12 hours of the day, you don't go visit in the first 3 hours, and you don't go visit in the last 3 hours. So that means there's the 6 middle hours of the day that you go to visit. How many minutes is that? So 6 times 60 is 360. So there are 360 minutes in the day that you can do the mitzvah bikur cholim. They didn't go at night. So they're talking about going during the day. And it says over here, Rava, afilu mea pomim b'yom, you can go even 100 times. So if you divide 360 by 100, the shiur for bikur cholim is 3.6 minutes. Now, this is obviously said with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, but the idea is that if you're not really performing any mitzvah for the person, if you're not really doing something specific for them, you're not staying overnight with them in the room, you're not going and cleaning the room, etc. If you're just giving a social visit of bikur cholim, so then I will tell you, Taka, that the shir of 3.6 minutes is a very appropriate shir. I've had many patients tell me that they're tired of visitors. Tell them I'm in isolation. Tell them I have COVID. Tell them I have MRSA. Tell them I have some reason that they can't come and visit, that I'm in isolation. Because sometimes the sick person just needs to rest, and it's very, very terrible if you're going there and you're overstaying. And I guarantee if the sick person is looking at their watch, that's the time that you should be getting up and leaving again, unless you're in a different situation. I'm not talking about the child that's staying in the parents' room overnight, so they should stay there all night. Don't say I'm only here for 3.6 minutes, but the casual acquaintance, the friend who's coming just to pick up their spirits. So a very good share is 3.6 minutes. In other words, don't overstay. You're welcome. Mark continues and says, "Amar Rabbi Acha bar Chanina, kol mevakir chole, notel echo mishishim bitzaro." This is a very famous statement that Rabbi Acha bar Chanina said, which we don't fully understand. The Gemara is going to try to explain it to us. And it tells us, if somebody goes and visits a sick person, your act of visiting them will remove 1/60th of their pain. Notel echo mishishim bitzaro. Now this is certainly true on a level that sometimes a person will feel better. Oh, so-and-so cares about me, so-and-so visited me, and they'll feel better. So there is a certain sense that when you go visit somebody, they should feel better. That's why I always tell people, if you're visiting, will actually make the person worse. They're tired and they're exhausted and they don't want to be visited at that moment in time. And you go visit them, so you're not removing any of the suffering and you're not mekayim the mitzvah of bikur cholim. In that situation, you're actually hurting them. So that's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah of bikur cholim is not like a lulav and esrog. You just shake it and you don't ask, do you want to be shaken? The sick person's opinions and considerations must be taken into effect. And that's why I always say you should always ask the family of the sick person or the sick person themselves, if it's appropriate, do you want to be visited and not just stop and visit? I offered to visit somebody who just got out of the operation last week, but I asked them, do you want me to visit? And he said, no, please don't. I really don't want visitors right now. And Baruch Hashem, I didn't go, but I went this week when he did want visitors, and I paid a very short visit just to say, I care about you, and that's the proper way that a person should do the mitzvah bikur cholim. So, Rabbi Acha bar Chanina tells us that when you mevakeh somebody, you remove 1/60th of their tzar. So Gemara says, Amri Leh, the people told Rabbi Acha bar Chanina, Im Kain, I got the way to empty out all of Sloan Kettering. I have the way to empty out every hospital's ICU. Im Kain, Li Alun Shisin V'Lok Mua. So bring 60 people to visit him. Each one will remove 1/60th. When 60 people come, all 60/60ths of his illness will be removed, and the guy will walk out of there all perfectly healthy. So obviously this doesn't work. So Amar Leh, so Rav Acha bar Chanina said to them, no, this is like the famous Ki Asi Ruaisa Devei Rebbe. As we'll see in a moment what that is, this is like the 1/10th by Rebbe. So the same thing over here, the 1/60th doesn't work in that way. But then he adds on, because even though it would work a certain amount more when you're dealing with a physical thing like Asiraisa the Rebbe, but here you need to have Uber Ben Gilo. In addition, you need to have that they're under the same constellation. That's how most people translate Uber Ben Gilo. As you can see over here, in the Mefarish, he says, Bahu Kamoso, Zokin Lazokin, that if they're a young person like them, or if they're an older person like them, but that's not the simple understanding that most people have. And most people understand Ben Gilo as the Ran does. Shinolad Hemivaker Bimazolo Shechola, that you're dealing over here, that he was born in the same stars, in the same constellation. Doesn't mean they have the same birthday. It means that there's something going on in Shemayim, that this person has the ability to go remove a certain amount of that illness. But it's not that if you have 60 people come, they'll remove all the illness. And even if it's like the Asiraisa of the Rebbe, it won't work over here in that literal type of a way. Now, what's the Asiraisa of the Rebbe? The Tanya. We learned this previously. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says that when you have Nechosim Merubim, so then the daughters get to be supported with their dowry even above the sons. Now, Rebbe Omer, Bas Hanizonis Menichsiachin, when the daughter is given this special type of rabbinical inheritance, so to say, of the estate, so she gets, Notelis Isun Chosim, she's given 1/10 of the estate for a dowry. So when they said this over, Amlul Rebbe, they said to Rebbe, so according to what you're saying, Rebbe, you're the one that said this, Rebbe Omer, Bas Hanizonis Menichsiachin, Notelis Isun Chosim, you're the one that says this, Rebbe, so Ludvarech, according to you, Mishayeshal Esser Bonos, Ubein, if somebody has 10 daughters and one son, so the son's supposed to inherit Minat Torah, but if each daughter gets 1/10, so Ainul Laben, Bimachim Bonos Klum, so he will get nothing, because each daughter will take 1/10, and all of a sudden, that's 10/10, the entire estate is gone. So Rebbe said to them, no, you misunderstood. Rishona no telis isun chosim. The first one to get married. And the Mefarshim explained, this is if they're all getting married at the same time, so you do this. So the first one to get married takes a tenth. The second one takes a tenth of what's remaining. Shnia b'mah shishayra. And shlish is b'mah shishayra. So each of them takes a tenth of what's left. And then, when you have all of them taking their tenth, you pool it. V'cholzros v'cholkos b'shavet. Then they divide up that entire amount, a tenth, and then the tenth, and then the tenth, and then the tenth of what's remaining, they add that all together, and each of them takes a tenth of that for all 10 of the daughters. So in this situation, it comes out to about 65%. So if you actually do this, you'd remove 65% of the estate, and the son gets 35% of the estate, so everything is good. Okay, now, this won't work for the sick person, because then all you need to do is keep on bringing more people, and everybody would clear out of Sloan Kettering. Should be, Hashem should do that for us, but that's not the way it works. So the answer is, again, Ube Ben Gilo. By the Chola, you have an additional fact of Ben Gilo. So we don't know. Every person that goes there makes, hopefully, the sick person feel better, but that's not taking away Echod Mishishim Bitzaro. Albeit, that is the idea, or one of the main purposes behind the Mitzvah Bikur Cholim, is to make the sick person more comfortable. This is a good break point to stop. With this, we conclude today's shir. We'll continue Mitzvah Shem with the beautiful Mitzvah Bikur Cholim into tomorrow's shir.